It's the type of message that I would preach on Father's Day. Something like that. So let's open up in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew 6 and 9, please. The Lord gave me this several years ago. He kept impressing me with this particular place to start. And I couldn't get around that one either. It just kept staying with me and staying with me. So Matthew 6 and 9 said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Now, what I want to talk on tonight, boy, if they get any smaller chalk, we're going to have to buy some more. Because this is so small, this old fella can't hardly hold on to it. I hope I got this spelled right. Our Father. Every one of us in here has a father. And those fathers have done everything they can do to lead you, train you, guide you, and work with you from a baby up. I appreciate my dad. I'm an adopted man. The adoptive father, of course, was not my natural father, so to speak. But they said that the two of them looked so much alike they'd pass for brothers. Mom and Daddy kept close eye on, or through the telephone book of this other couple. They knew who they were, but they never met them. But Dad, my adoptive dad, was a wonderful man. He only went through 8th grade, but you would think he had a college education of an engineer's degree. Very, very smart man. But he taught me. And Mama taught me. She was a Church of God lady. My dad was Baptist. His father was a Baptist preacher for many, many years. I knew him. He's the only grandparent that I knew. But Dad was a great, great father. And I appreciate my father. I want to tell the young people here today and the children. Sometimes you think Mom and Dad's being too strict. Sometimes you think, I wish they wouldn't talk like that or do that or so forth. Let me tell you, folks, when I got up and got to looking back on what Mom and Dad taught me, I'm thankful to this day for what they done for me. What they taught me, how they labored. I mean, they laid it down. There's not a drunk in the family. Nobody smokes, nobody drugs, anything like that. We all was clean. And when I went to get saved, I didn't have a lot of things to give up. I just come to the Lord and confessed my sins and begged for mercy, and He saved me. And it was a lot easier than people that's been drinking and smoking and drugging and so forth. Even though they have a great testimony, the bottom line is, mine was easy, and I would encourage all the young folks to be that away. When Dad works with you, teaches you and so forth, listen to him. Give him your time. You won't always have him. Mine's been gone over 30 years now. A sister right here last night said, I can't do this for Dad anymore. Can't send him a Father's Day card. I can't send mine a Father's Day card. Molly's had been gone over 50 years. He died in the 70s. Mine died in the 90s. Molly was just a teenager. I was about 40 when Dad died. But the bottom line was, our Father is our Father. And we have another Father. His name is the great God of heaven. And he said, after this manner. Now he said, yeah, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Think about it now. Our Father which art in heaven. Our Father. Thank God for our Father. The one that has done everything for us that we needed Him to do. The one that has helped us, saved us, delivered us, blessed us, has been there for us over and over and over. Our Father. Ours. Individual. Over the whole church, over the whole world, so to speak. Our Father is a great Father. He gets it every day. Father's Day is not one day in the year on the spiritual sense. It's 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, because you and I cannot thank Him enough for what He does for you and I. The times He's heard our cries, the time that He's picked us up, the time that He's healed our bodies, the time that He's encouraged our heart, the time that He blessed us in meeting, the time that He's revealed the Word to us, Psalms to us, and different things. He laid it out for us because He's our Father and He loves you tonight, praise God. Our Father loves you. He loves you with a love that's greater than any other love. I felt like my dad loved me. Well, I knew he did. Mama too. But the bottom line was, they weren't God. This Father here, when I met Him when I was 18 years old. Oh, tonight, when He kept on. I'm thankful tonight, some of you heard me tell this, that a brother Lloyd had come and he talked to me at my business, or not my business, but my later partner's business. And he worked me 3 hours one night from 9 to midnight, and I just wouldn't humble my heart. Bless his heart, he finally said, Carl. He said, I believe if you just get down there and kneel and start praying, the Lord would forgive you. And He would have, but I wouldn't do it. I was stubborn. But bless God, this Father didn't quit on this old boy. I wonder how many of you got a testimony like that, that He went with me. And He climbed in the car when I went to the house and He talked to me and He let me know one of the things that was holding me back. I wanted to be a very wealthy man. I was setting my sights in that direction. I was working to be that. And He told me, He said, you can be ever so rich, I can take it all away in a moment's time. Prop knocked out. Then He also showed me about Brother Lloyd had a brother, cousin, a family member that was fairly young. I don't remember as young as I was at that point, but I believe they'd gotten killed in a car wreck. He said, you're not too old to die. Pointing things out. Love, see? When our fathers tell us things and point things out to us, they're doing it for our own good. Jesus said not, and the Father, He didn't quit, praise God. He kept talking to me and working with me. I got ready for bed, laid down, and I couldn't go to sleep because of the dealings of the Father. Finally, I rolled out of bed, got down, and started praying. And God had mercy, and He touched my soul and redeemed it and washed it and done something no other Father could do, praise God. The Father, our Father, your Father. Thank the Lord for this Father tonight. He is a wonderful, wonderful. Which art in heaven? Now then, there are some fathers out there that are very, very wealthy. Some of them own many homes. Some of them own big yachts. Some of them own airplanes, maybe two or three airplanes. Got a lot of money. Could drop millions of dollars at a moment's time and not even miss it. But this Father owns the whole world and everything on it. He's got what all the rest of them don't. He owns what they own. They just have it in possession, but it's actually His. And tonight, because of His power, because of His ownership, so to speak, He can provide and give you anything you need tonight. Do you believe that? What do you need tonight? Are you in a place where you're financially having problems? Listen, it has no problem with God to provide you with something, to send it to you, to bring it to you, to just give you a job or something whereby the money will come in, praise God. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, help us tonight to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father in this earthen vessel as He would have us to do, praise God. Give us this day our daily bread. Now then, there's probably people that really have to pray that kind of prayer. I don't, and I dare say anybody in here don't. If I want a slice of bread, I got it in the kitchen, most generally anyway. Maybe in the freezer, whatever it might be. If I want a steak, I can get it. If I want fried chicken, I can have it. I have these things because the Father is blessed. But there is people out there that actually have to pray down their food along. More than what we would have to do. Our Father. Tonight, how much do you love the Father? All right, let's go to James, the first chapter, 17th verse. Every good gift and every perfect gift from above is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Listen tonight, the Lord's power. The Lord's power said every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Listen tonight, Brother Clinton was talking about somewhat of the gift of singing. And the Lord has given a lot of gifts down to people down through the years. Good gifts, perfect gifts, he's worked with it. Brother Leslie was a man I loved dearly, worked hand in hand with. He had so many gifts, I was about envious of him. The Lord just given. He was not only intelligent, but he could sing, he could teach, he could do this, he could do that. And I'm sitting back, I barely get in the pulpit and preach. But Brother Leslie could do a lot. These things come from God. Every gift preachers we got come from God. It didn't come because we're a natural speaker. The bottom line, it takes the anointing and the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost for you and I to do what we do. Good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father. Now they want to ask a question. Is the Lord dealing with anybody in here to do something for him? Like Brother Clinton says, anybody in here, Lord's calling you to maybe sing? Lord's calling you to maybe teach? Lord's calling you to preach? Oh, wait a minute, Brother Carl, wait a minute now. No. Every good gift, the things that God has for you and I to use in the work of God, he's got to take those gifts. That Father now, this is the Father. He's leading. He's guiding. He's working in the body. He's doing things that nobody else can do with the church of God. He is building the church of God. He is working with that church. And you and I need to respond as he calls and gives. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father. Father of lights. I'm going to tell you, he has got the most wonderful light. Wonderful light. I've read stories about people that have died and gone to heaven. Maybe for a short time, not long, and then they come back. And there's two things that they say that is there. Some of them are across a mountain or a high place, and they can't see into the actual what you call heavenly city. But they said the light is the most serene, beautiful light they've ever seen. And said the singing is beyond what you could ask for. I want to see that light. I want to hear that singing. I want to hear God has taken and he's saved and sanctified. He's called, he's worked, he's given gifts down through the years. And now that he's called those people home. And those people, that's a blessing here. They're really a blessing up there, praise God. Praising God and rejoicing. Oh, tonight, the light. The light. All right, let's go to Romans 8 and 15. Let's not try to hold you too long tonight. Romans 8 and 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, thereby you cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we may suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So he says here, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again, to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption. Oh, tonight, I'm thankful that I have received something. Like I said, I've been adopted twice. Adopted twice. Now, Mom and Daddy took me home from the hospital at 8 days old. The doctor that helped Mother and Daddy, he knew the situation, and he put it in, and they were able to do it, and they got me by adoption, so to speak. And they took good care of me. They raised me. They done a lot of things for me. They stuck their necks out, so to speak, to back me financially at times. And I appreciate what they done. And I was able, by the help of the Lord, to pay them back or do whatever I needed to do. Because they wanted to help me. Now then, he said, for you have not received again the spirit of bondage again to fear. I'm thankful tonight that we have been delivered from that. You've received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. This is our Father, The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That's what you've got to have. You've got to have that Spirit of the Father witnessing, working within you, letting you know that you are my child. And He wants you to know that. He wants you to know that you belong to Him. He wants you to know that because the devil is going to do everything he can to stop you. He's going to do everything he can to discourage you. He's going to do everything he can to hurt you. And so consequently, we need to know without a shadow of a doubt that we are the child of the King, the child of the Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. All right, let's go to Galatians 4 and 6. Galatians 4 and 6. And because you're sons of God, because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and the beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? So he says here, because you're sons, sons of God, because you're sons, God has sent forth this Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We're crying out after. This is an endearing situation, just like it'd be with your father and you was in trouble or whatever, and you're crying out towards Him, and you'd say, Abba, Father, so to speak. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Oh, tonight. All right, let's go to Colossians. Let's go to Colossians 1 and 12. Colossians 1 and 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now then, back there it's talking about the inheritance. Listen tonight, if you haven't had your father and mother pass, you've not received any inheritance, you don't quite know what that is like. I've been there, done that. And so consequently, there is some children that receive great, great inheritances. Sometimes they actually divide it up sometime before they ever die. I know a situation, and I know this for a fact, that the father had three children, and he was taken, and ever so often he'd write each one of those children thousands of dollars at a time and give it to him. He wasn't even dead. But he was on his way out, he felt like. He didn't know how much longer he was going to live, and he didn't live too long. He died a number of years ago. And so he's given. There are different people that have done that down through the years. But folks, this inheritance that is given by God is the greatest inheritance. And I want to encourage you to go after this inheritance. I know you may need your inheritance naturally speaking, and that's all right. But I'm going to tell you tonight, most people, if there's any fussing and fighting between the children and so forth, it's over money. That can get things stirred up and messed up quicker than anything else. I saw a situation one time where one of the daughters, well, I tell her who it was, my grandpa. My grandpa had sold a piece of property for so much money. He was going to divide it among the 10 children. Each one was to get so much money. Well, he was saving that money back, and I don't remember how long it was from point A of him selling and point B of him dying, but the bottom line, some of them decided, hey, I need some money. So they borrowed money. And guess what they done? They didn't pay it back. Well, then it come time to divide the money, and they thought, well, we borrowed that money, but we're just going to forget about that, and we're going to divide it up and so forth. Well, my daddy and my aunt that was over the whole thing, They said, no, we ain't doing it that way. And I'm going to tell you, the baby sister of that family, she got so mad, and I was pretty young then, but I remember her coming out of that house. She grabbed that door handle, jumped in that car, fired that thing up, slammed it in reverse, and squealed out of the driveway, put it in drive, and squealed down the road. She was not a happy camper because she wasn't getting what she thought she was going to get. Listen, folks, we don't have to fight over this inheritance. There's plenty of this inheritance for every one of us. The thing of it is, we've got to go after it. We've got to ask for it. Oh, tonight, I was talking about Brother Leslie a while ago. He had gifts and talents and so forth, and I admired him. I loved him. We worked together perfect for years. I had one time that I got a little upset with him or hurt at him. But anyway, the bottom line, that was all solved pretty quickly. But here's the thing. He put in, and the Lord give him. And give him again, and give him again. Listen, folks, you can have all the inheritance you want, praise God. He's got plenty to share with everybody. And we don't have to fuss and fight. We don't have to do anything but just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving me something for me to do. Listen, folks, the Lord wants all of us to do something for Him. He is interested in us doing that. So tonight I want to encourage you to go after your inheritance. It's a mighty, well, you think Bill Gates has got a lot. You think Jeff Bezos's got a lot. God's got more in one corner than they got in all their billions of dollars. And He wants to hand it out to you and I. The Father wants to give you some inheritance. And I want to encourage you to go after it tonight. Ask Him. Ask Him, Lord, give me some of this inheritance, pray to God. Giving thanks unto the Father which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who had delivered us from the power of darkness and had translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even forgiveness of sins. Oh, tonight, have you put in for your inheritance? Have you asked the Lord that, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, what could I do? You know, a lot of times we're doing things for Dad. Well, what do you want me to do, Dad? Well, I want you to do this or I want you to do that. We just freely do it. Or maybe the girl's with her mama. Mama, what do you need? I'll help you, Mama. I'll help you, Dad. Oh, tonight, let's have an attitude, a heart attitude of, Lord, what can I do? What can I do for you, Lord? I want to help. I want to do my little part. Oh, today, let's reach out. Let's do what the Lord would have us to do tonight. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 1:1. 2 Corinthians 1:1. Now, these are some of my favorite reading in the Bible. I've got some favorite scripture, just like probably everybody does in here. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the will of God, Timothy, our brother, and to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Now, some of you heard me say this, but about a little over a month before Rebecca passed, I was praying and begging and pleading for her life. And the Lord stopped me and He said, what if I want to take her? I was speechless. I couldn't respond for a moment or two. Finally, I said, Lord, she belongs to You. And if that's Your will, she's Yours. A little bit after that, I was in the kitchen one night, thanking on the things of God, best to remember. And the Lord spoke to me and He said, grief is going to be part of your ministry for the rest of your life. Grief. And He's given me a burden. I can sit and pray for people that have lost their loved ones and sit there and cry and may not even know them very good. I can cry over people that's lost loved ones and don't even know them. There was a Thunder coach. Don't know a whole lot about this, but know a little bit. He was only, I think, in his early 30s. He had a wife. They had three children, if I remember right. Anyway, she was killed in a head-on car wreck. A drunk lady, not a drunk lady, but a drug lady, come over her lane and hit her head-on and killed her. And I felt bad about that. I mean, at least I had some time to prepare for the loss of what I was going to lose. But this man's was instant. There is people in here that's probably dealt with instant death. It's horrible. It's hard. It's something that is very hard to get over. And I'd sit and pray for him and those children and sit there and cry. And didn't even know him. Listen, folks, tonight he said he's a God of all comfort. I take that, if I send you a card and I take that word all and I capitalize it. Because it dawned on me one day when I was doing that and writing and working with grief cards, it dawned on me, hey, Carl, he's the God of all comfort, complete. He has no problem in doing anything with anybody at any time. He is able to comfort you no matter if it's a death, whether it's a tribulation or a problem. Somebody stabbed you in the back. Somebody's gunned you down. Somebody's talking about you. Whatever it might be, God is able to get in there and touch you and comfort you and do what nobody else can do. Thing of it is, he can come in your house at 3 o'clock in the morning and work with you. He come in at midnight. One night, I don't remember what the deal was. But something had happened to me, and I went home, and this was before I was ever married. And I went home, and I knelt down at my chair, or a chair, rocking chair, I guess. And I just sat there and bawled and bawled and bawled because of the pain. He come along, and he touched me. The tears dried up. I never said one word, but he knew what it was all about. He can read the heart, folks. There's going to be times that you're going to have pain. You don't know what to do with it, but he knows what to do with it. He done things with my grief that absolutely stunned me over and over and over. One sister, her husband died many years ago. I was very close to him, and I'm quite close to the family. And there was a fire started. And the fire was starting toward her house. And she's going, Bob, I wish I had you. Bob, where art thou? Bob was gone. And Sister Irma was devastated. And here the fire was coming. Well, the next day after everything was settled down, she walked out there and the fire had went right down the fence row and stopped on their side and not hers. And he spoke to her and he said, I've done a better job than Bob. Listen, folks, tonight, when you've got this God as your Father, the God of all comfort, he can do things for you that there ain't nobody else can do. One person told me one time that they went to a viewing. The viewing was a person that had committed suicide. Now, this person had suffered a severe grief. I know for a fact, know quite a bit about it. And they told me, said, Carl, said, I didn't know what to say. What would you say? I thought, yeah, I wouldn't know what to say either. But he does. He knows how to talk with you, whether it be suicide or regular death or somebody killed your child or whatever it might be. He knows how to go in there and touch and to correct, to encourage, to uplift, to comfort. He knows how to do what none of the rest of us can do. I've read books. I spent hours studying on this, and I don't know nothing compared to God. Mine's about that big compared to his. But blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation. Listen, folks, if you live for God very long, you're probably going to have some tribulation. You're going to have some tests and trials. You're going to have some time maybe that you can't sleep very much all night long. But the bottom line is this God of all comfort, he can do for you and help you. I was coming home one day, early in the morning. A certain young brother and I had stayed down in the new part of the old chapel there in Shawnee. And I don't know, he called me, I called him anyway. We decided we'd go down there and spend the night. And I was coming home the next morning. I was driving and I was crying. I was thinking about the age. And the age of Rebecca was under 60 years old. And I'm crying, Lord, she was so young. She was so young. And he stopped me and he said, child, age doesn't matter to me. It's eternity that counts. That dried the tears up, and that got me thinking. I've used that over and over in the pulpit sometimes, especially in funerals, to get people's idea the thing you need to worry about is eternity. Don't worry about the age. You need to be ready to go, whether you're 5 or 50, 75 or 80. No matter what the age, you need to be ready to go. It's eternity that counts, folks, and God can point that out to you and I. Comfort us in all. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ. Let's go to 63 and 16 of Isaiah. Isaiah 63 and 16. Doubtless thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us, and Israel acknowledge us not. Thou, O Lord, art our father, our redeemer, our redeemer. Now tonight, there's going to be times that people are not going to treat you right. But I got news for you tonight. Now, I'm not a surgeon, a doctor of any type. But I have studied science somewhat in school and so forth. And as far as I know, no matter what race you are, we're all built the same inside. We've all got a heart, we've got lungs, we've got kidneys, we've got all veins and arteries. I'll get it right in a minute. Veins and arteries, we have all of that. Every one of us are built just like the same, and yet there is people that have racial discrimination because you're not a certain color on the outside. They just kind of want to push you aside. And that can be painful. That can be painful. Just kind of push you aside. Doubtless thou art our father. Though Abraham be ignorant of us and Israel acknowledge us not, thou, O Lord, art our father. Our Redeemer, thy name is for everlasting. No matter what race we might be, no matter how people treat us and do us, the bottom line is this Father knows who we are. And He knows how to help us. He knows how to comfort us. He knows how to bless us. Listen, there is a lot of racial discrimination still in the United States and around the world. A lot of pain in that. But tonight, we need to look up. Our Father understands that. He knew it, and He knows how to help us with it. All right, let's go to Matthew 7 and 7. Here's another scripture that I like real well. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things that ye have need of before you ask Him. And after this manner, therefore, pray ye. No, wait a minute. I'm in the wrong scripture. It'll always read right. I get in the right spot. All right, 7 and 7 of Matthew. I was in 6 and 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. For what man is there of you of whom his son asks bread, will he give a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give a serpent? If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? In Luke, the 11th chapter, I believe it is, maybe the 12th, 13th verse. And there it said, here it just says, ask and it shall be given you. There it said, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. I was praying one day, I guess, something. Anyway, the Lord pointed that out to me. I've used those scriptures in Luke. And dealing with sanctification, I've used them at different times, and it never dawned on me that He said, I say unto you, ask. That's a direct from Christ. I tell you to ask. Tonight, when you and I have need of something of our natural Father, what do? You ask. I found out on vacation that Dad was pretty liberal. I can get me a soda and give me some candy, maybe an ice cream bar and so forth. The others got old enough, he'd do them the same way. Ask. Daddy, can I have this? Yeah. Daddy, can I have this? Yeah. Oh, Father. Father above said, ask. Ask and it shall be given. Do you know what that is saying? That's an absolute. Shall is a positive. It's not something that a no or whatever, but the bottom line is it's an absolute positive saying that He will give you things when you ask Him. Now, He's not going to spoil you rotten like some fathers do, but He is going to bless you and take care of you. And when you have needs and things that need whatever it might be, whether it be for the body, whether it be for the finances or food or whatever it might be, ask and it shall be given. This is your Father. Listen, He's forgot more about things than any man on earth knows. He has got the wisdom and the power to help you in any way that you need tonight. Ask and it shall be given. I say unto you, ask. I say unto you, ask tonight. Oh, I love those scriptures. Another one that's my favorite is blind Bartimaeus. When Jesus was coming along and he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they tried to quiet him and they tried to do this and he wouldn't quieten down. He just kept crying out. What did Jesus say? He said, tell him to come. And he got there and he said, what will thou that I should do unto thee? Do you know what that's saying? What will thou that I should do unto thee? In other words, there's only one person can make that statement. There's no rich man, president, king, queen. There is no senator or congressman or governor has the power to make that statement. Because Jesus is the only one that can help you and I to have anything we need, heart, soul, mind, and body. He's the only one that can do it. So consequently, what will thou? He said, I say unto you, ask, children. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Do you believe that tonight? Are you sure? Ask and it shall be given. All right, 64 and 8 of Isaiah. 64 and 8 of Isaiah. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter. And we are all the work of thy hand. Now tonight, I've done touched on this some. But let's let the Lord work with us. Let's just be like clay in His hands and let Him mold and fashion and work with us in any way He wants. Now, a potter can make a pot. He made all kind of different vessels and so forth, and they know how to do it and so forth. But the bottom line is, this one can do anything with anything, and he can sure work with you as long as you let him do it. But the Father, the bad part of it is, you and I got a will, and sometimes we don't just quite want Him to do that. This is the Father. Philip. Philip was a minister. And he was in a very good meeting. And the Lord spoke to him. And he said, I want you to go somewhere. And Philip said, all right. And he took off. The Father led him down. He told him, he said, I want you to go join yourself to that chariot. And he did. Well, he went and he asked him a question. You know what you're reading and so forth? Well, no. Is this so and so and so and so? Well, so he said, come on board and help me here. So what did he do? He got up there and he preached to one man. One man. The Father had so much love for that one soul that he sent him down there to help that one soul. Now, folks, today, he may want to call you and say, I want you to go give a tract to so-and-so. He's not telling you to go preach a message, but he's telling you to go take care of one person with a tract, faith and victory, whatever it might be. There's still a lot of tracts, I understand, that you can get and pass out, according to Sister Dina. So today, the Lord's going to want us to do things. And I passed out, I've given out, no, I have no idea how many hundreds of tracts in my service stations and in bathrooms and different things. I worked with people in tracts and so forth. And the bottom line, sometimes these are small things, but the Father, the potter, wants to work with us. We need to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right, closing, John 20 and 17. St. John 20 and 17. Jesus saith unto her, well, let's go 16. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them that I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can't get to me a better ending, so to speak, than that right there. I'm going to go to the Father. I'm going to sit on the right hand of the Father on the throne of grace, and He and I is going to work in a team. And listen, folks, tonight, you have access. It said, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to do what? To help us in every time of need. I'm trying to be positive tonight. I don't know how I'm doing, but I'm trying to be. Bottom line is, He is right there. He's waiting. He's looking. The Father loves you, and He wants to help you tonight. Let's stand. Have a number, please. Appreciate your time and attention. We desire your prayers.